Okay, we're beginning here about eight lines down on Kuf, Ted, Vav, and Aleph with Amar Ravina. Amar Ravina, Amarli Rav Mishar, Shebrei Rav Natan. Hochi Amar Hillel, Mishmei de Gemara. This is what Hillel says, Mishmei de Gemara, based on the Misora. Lo nichroch inish matzah umaror bahadei hadadi. That one should not wrap matzah and maror together, v'nechol, and then eat it, mishum de svirlan. Because we believe today, matzah bizmanazeh de oraita. Matzah today is a din deoraita that we'll get to when we get to the Gemara on Kufaf Amud Aleph. Matzah zmanazeh is deoraita be'erub tochlu matzot umaror derabanan. But maror, which only has a pasuk that associates it with the korban of Pesach, therefore without a korban of Pesach, it's only a din derabanan. And therefore ati maror derabanan, then the din of maror derabanan comes umevatule the matzah deoraita. And it ruins the matzah d'oraita because you're mixing them together. So afilu, the man da amar, even according to one who says mitzvot ein mevatlo zu, that mitzvot don't knock each other out or wipe each other out, like Hillel, which we're going to see later on. Hillel thinks you should eat matzah maror together. Hani mile b'doraita b'doraita. That's only if the mitzvot are on the same level. Both d'oraita, both Torah level mitzvot. O d'rabanan b'drabanan. Or they're both rabbinic level mitzvot. Aval d'oraita b'drabanan. When you have a mitzvah d'oraita with a mitzvah d'rabanan. Ati d'rabanan. Mevatalele d'oraita. Along comes the mitzvah d'rabanan and causes you a problem with regards to the mitzvah d'oraita. And certainly in a case where the maror is maybe not even be a mitzvah d'rabanan, if you eat it earlier for whatever reason, then when you put them together, the maror is going to cause you a problem with the matzah de'oraita. So, mantana shmaile mitzvot ein mevat lo zu. Who's the Tana that tells us that mitzvot do not cancel each other out? Hillelhi. That's Hillel. Titania, amru alav al Hillel, shakurchan bevatachat. The way Hillel used to eat the korban of Pesach is that he used to wrap them together, he used to make himself a nice shawarma, vochlan, and he ate them. He would have the matzah, the maror, and the korban Pesach together, shenemar, al-matzot umorim yochlu, that you should eat it together, matzot umorim, all in one package, in one shot. So there, Hillel says that you're yotzei the mitzvah matzot and maror through that package. So you see, ein mitzvot mevatlo zu. And the Gemara then says, what Hillel, Mishmei the Gemara says that that's true when they're both deoraita, but even Hillel, who says that they aren't canceling each other out, when it's one derabanan and one deoraita, then you do have a problem, and you cannot mix them together. So then, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Holkin alav chavirav el Hillel. Hillel's compatriots, peers, argue on him. Titania, Yochel yehei korchan bevatachat. You would think that you have to wrap them together in one shot. Vochlan, kederach shehillel ochlan, the way that Hillel does it. Tamad lomar, the pasuk says, amotzot umarim yochlu. Afilu zeh bifnei atzmo, bezeh bifnei atzmo. Even this one by itself, and this one by itself. You can see here that there's a bet in our goat, Renschenberg, and he says, tamad lomar, amotzot umarim yochlu is not the right girs over here, but rather yochlu. Explain this in 1 second. But the yochlu indicates that you have an independent achila for matzah and an independent achila for maror, so they have to be eaten separately. So matki for Ravashi. Ravashi asks on this. The way the Rashbam reads the question here is umiu cholkin alav chayrav Rabbi Yochanan of mihachalosh meinina. Ravashi agrees with Rabbi Yochanan's premise that Hillel's peers argue on him. But it's not from that braita. From that braita that you quoted, you cannot prove it. Because he achi mayafilu. What does it mean? You can even eat it. Even eat it means that that's the subbar performance. The main performance is like Hillel, to put them together. But if you happen to have eaten it separately, then you're yotze. But that means that they really agree, technically, with Hillel's position. El amar Ravashi, hai tana hochik tani. This is the way to have it. Yochol lo yitzei bu yidei chavoto, imken korchan bevat achat. You would think you're only yotzei when you put them together. Vochlan kederach Hillel chlan, the way that Hillel does it. Tamad lomar al matzot umarim yochlu. Again, the question of which pasuk is being used here. Afilu ze bifnei atzmo, veze bifnei atzmo. So then, either one. Then you could do it, even this by itself and this by itself. So you would think the only way to be yotzei the mitzvah is that way. That's wrong. The way to be yotzei the mitzvah is to eat each one independently. So the way the Rashbam reads this is that the difference in the braita is that the first braita says that Hillel is right, but if you do it the other way, then it's okay. The second braita tells you that Hillel is not actually right. You would think that was the only way to do it. No, the real way to do it is to eat them separately. So Ravashi agrees to Rabbi Yochanan's underlying premise that they argue, just, he says you can't prove it from the first braita, you can only prove it from the second braita. On the other hand, the Tosafot and the Ramban read this differently, and they say that Ravashi is actually coming to undermine that position of Rabbi Yochanan, and disagrees. He thinks that both Hillel and his peers believe that ein mitzvot mevatlo zu et zu, and therefore he reinterprets the braita to say exactly what the braita is saying, which is, afilu. And therefore, Rav Ashi concludes, not like Rabbi Yochanan at the Chavirim are cholek on Hillel. With conclusion, you can do it both ways. You can do it either b'kricha, or you can do it individually. And that would be the conclusion of the Gemara over here, similar to the first statement. He just says, the first story, that you can't read it that way like you're saying. And therefore, I must conclude that the Chachamim disagree with Hillel, but not on the fact that you could do it b'kricha, just that you're able to do it separately as well. Now, the subsequent Gemara reads better according to Rashbam and the Talmud, but the second Braita bought by Rav Ashi isn't as easy to read that way. For the Ramban and the Tosafot, the second Braita reads similarly to the first Braita, that it means just if you don't do it like Hillel, you could do it this way. But then the subsequent Gemara about who do we pass on the halacha like becomes a little more difficult because everybody does agree that you could do it through Korech.
Now, Gemara says, Hashdolit Mar Yochadal Loki Hillel, Veloki Rabbanan. Now that we don't have the locha, not like Hillel, not Rabban, we don't have a conclusive about what the locha is. Mevarech al chilat matzah v'achil. You make the bracha of al chilat matzah and then you eat. V'hadar mevarech al chilat maror. Then you make the bracha of al chilat maror and you eat the maror. Similar to what we do. V'hadar achil matzah v'chasa v'adei adodi. And then you put them back together, all together, below bracha, without a bracha. Zeicha l'migdash v'hillel. Similar to what Hillel did in the migdash. So what we conclude from here is that since we're choshesh for both shitot, we do the shita the rabbanon, which is each one separately, and then we eat them together, wrapped up in one shot. Zeichel mikdash kehila. Now, the truth is, what would have been the difference? If we pass them like the chachamim, we know what we would have done. We would have just eaten them separately, and we wouldn't have any questions. But if we pass them like Hillel, what would we have done differently now? Because Hillel agreed that bizman hazeh you can't eat matzah and maror together, so you do have to eat them separately. So then what would he have done differently if we actually did pass them like Hillel? So Tosafot points out that if we passed them like Hillel, what we would have done was made al-achilat matzah, and then we'd eat in the matzah. Once you've eaten the matzah, you've discharged your obligation midoraita. Now you're left with a mitzvah derabonon with matzah and a mitzvah derabonon of maror, because maror is only derabonon today, and you have a mitzvah derabonon to do kricha, zeicha l'mikdash kehilel. So then you would have done the korech right afterwards. You would have said al-achilat matzah, eat in the matzah. Then you would have had zeicha l'mikdash kehilel, and you would have eaten the maror and matzah together and been done. You wouldn't eat maror separately at all. Because we're choshesh the shita of the rabbanon, we also eat the maror separately before we do the kricha kehilel. Just a note here that the Rashbam notes when Hillel says korkan bevat achat, he says pesach, matzah, and maror. You should put all three of them together. And there's some questions as to the gear. So when we say zeicha l'mikdash kehilel, whether you should include the word Pesach or not include the word Pesach in there, because that's what Hillel did when the Pesach was around. There's some question about that. There's a question amongst the briskers whether you should say the Zecher at all, because maybe it's a hefsek.
And maybe the Gemara over here, when it says Zecher the Mikdash Kehilel, is telling you the reason that you eat Korech, not what you're supposed to say before you eat Korech. I can say it afterwards, I guess, but it's not really a memra to be said, but rather a reason why we do eat Korech.
The practice of most people is to say the Zecher Mikdash Kehilel, and there are different minhagim with regards to whether you include the word Pesach or not. Now, with regards to the pasuk that is quoted for the proof here, that might actually explain the difference in their opinion. We have one pasuk in Bamidbar that says Amatzot u'morim yochlu. Amatzot u'morim yochlu, there the yochlu, there's only one yochlu that's mentioned there. It sounds like Matzot u'morim are together. And that might be the basis for the position of Hillel. On the other hand, the pasuk in Shmot says, "Vachlu et habasar b'layla zeh, tzli eish, umatzot al mirorim yochlu." There are those that claim that in that pasuk it says "Vachlu" and "Yochlu." So one achlu is going for the matzot, and one yochlu is going on the maror. And therefore, you have two achilot, and that's why you have to have them separate. That might be the sheet of the Rabbanan. The Rashbam rejects that, and he says the achlu in the beginning of the pasuk, and that's the pasuk that he's quoting, is achlu et habasar b'layla zeh is going on the korban haPesach. The reason that the chachamim think it's separate is because they use the word yochlu, which is mutzot amorim yochlu instead of amatzot marim yochlu. Since they say yochlu hu instead of yochlu, therefore it indicates there's a separate achila for matzot and a separate achila for maror. All right, now we continue in the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shaya, kol sheti below b'mashkeh tzarich netilat yadayim. Anything you dip into liquid requires a netilat yadayim. Now, the way the Rashbam suggests over here is because hayadayim shniot, the yadayim are stam shniot the tuma, b'chol poselat the tuma. Anything that makes tuma problematic, because a sheni makes a shlishi in tuma, mitamei mashkim liot tchila, makes a liquid into a rishon the tuma. And so because of that,
Rashi in Chulin thinks
to wash your dime here, similar to what we do for the netilat yadayim of a motzi. Because of Kedusha, Kedusha of Chuma, we wash for Chulin in order for srach Chuma, in order to make sure that there's no tuma for Chuma. And the same thing over here. Since these liquids would become tchila and be problematic, you wash your hands here, similar that you would do it by hamotzi. Tosafot rejects that and says the washing here has nothing to do with the washing by hamotzi. And the washing over here, he says, "Unira dinatila d'ocha lo mishum kedusha v'nikiyut kemo b'nehema." It's not for kedusha and for cleanliness like we do by bread. Elam mishum shelo yitamei amashkim liotchila, nor that you will not be mitamei them. Ve'asur l'shtotan v'lifsol et gufo, because then if he drinks them later, it'll be asur to drink them, because we saw in the Gemara in Shabbat that person who drinks a rishon l'tumah will make himself megzera chachamim tamei. In order to prevent himself from becoming tamei, then we do that nitilah. So he says that the first nitilah for mashkeh is a nitilah for tum'ah, and the nitilah for bread is a nitilah for kiddushah. Tosafot points out, therefore you should not make a brocha on the first nitilah, because the first nitilah is simply for tum'ah. The second nitilah has to do with the takanat chachamim of kiddushah and nikiyut for pat. That one you make a brocha on, which is our practice. We don't make a nitilah tidaim on the first one. We do make a nitilah tidaim on the second one. But according to the Rashi in Chulin, since they're both in Kedusha, you would make a bracha on the first one, and you'd make a bracha on the second one, which was the practice of many of the time of the Tosafot. He says, "B'chol starim k'tiv, shetzarich al nitila l'varech v'enira." He says that everybody in their starim or their sidurim has that you do make a bracha of nitila t'yadayim by the karpats, and he thinks that that is incorrect. And again, we follow the practice of Tosafot. Now the Gemara asks over here, "Amar Papa Shmamino." From this you conclude, you have to submerge it into the charoset, mishum kafa, because of the problem of kafa. What kafa is, as the Rashbam says, kafa is eris. So that the chazeret yeshbo eris, it has some sort of poison inside of it, and the charoset is able to either draw it out or to reduce the problem of this eris. On the other hand, the Rabbeinu Chananel says that kafa is a tolat, it's a type of worm. This goes to a Gemara that there are certain animals or worms that live inside of vegetables. The Gemara there has a din that a worm or a bug that is found inside of a vegetable where it's its natural habitat and it's never left there and walked outside of there, then you can eat it with the bug and it's not considered to be a problem. The only time a worm or a bug is a problem is if it's left its natural habitat inside of the vegetable or the leaves. So therefore over here we dip it into the charoset in order to remove the tolat. Dip it in the charoset to rid yourself of that tolat.
And as Tosafot explains, it's not because of a kashrut issue, but rather a sakana issue. That if the tolat gets inside, it could puncture your esophagus or your intestines. Therefore we want to get rid of the tolat. Besides Isura, you can be somech on the rove that whatever worms are found in here are still in the vegetable itself, and therefore they're not a problem of kashrut. But that rove is not good when it comes to sakanta, when it comes to danger. And therefore we ask you to dip it in the charoset to get rid of this issue of sakana.
Both of these explanations lead to a question as to why we do not dip on the first time in the charoset. We said before that according to the Rishbam and many others, that even if you use maror for the first time, you do not have to dip it into charoset. And it seems the rest of the year, people did not dip it into charoset. So the answer of many of the achronim is that ala rov, there is no problem with this eres. People eat it all the time. They do not get sick or they do not get poisoned by it. But since over here the chachamim made a mitzvah to eat maror, they don't want to make a mitzvah where there's any chance of danger. And therefore they make you dip it into the charoset. Same thing with regards to the worms. Ala rov, these lettuces or these things don't have the worms in them, and they would not be problematic. But here where the chachamim made a tzibah that you must eat them this way, then they want to make it clear that there's no problem here, and therefore you dip it into the charoset. Now the Gemara says, "Disagadat alot zarech l'shulke." Hey, if you do not have to submerge it, tila yadayim lomali. Why do you have to have nitila yadayim? Halo no go. You're not touching the liquid. So the Gemara says, "V'dimal olmaimach alot zarech l'shkuya." You don't have to submerge it. V'kafa merecha mai. That the kafa, just from the smell of the charoset coming into contact with the charoset, kills it out. Either whether it's the tolad, it's the worm, or it's the poison inside it. So why do you require nitilat yadayim if there's no requirement to submerge it? Dilma mishakulet, because maybe he will submerge it. Meaning that we don't tell him he has to submerge it, but if he did submerge it, he wouldn't need nitilat yadayim. So as a preventative measure, we tell him to wash his hands in case he does submerge it in this case. Amar Papa, onishai inish maror becharoset. Make sure you don't leave the charoset on the maror. Dilma gav chaliyad tavlin. Maybe because of the sweetness or pungency of the tavlin, of the spices, mevatale the mururei, it'll get rid of the bitterness. So what we want the charoset to do is get rid of the problem of the kafa, but we don't want to ruin the taste of maror. Because if you ruin the taste of maror, then it's no longer maror. So therefore, that's our practice today, where we dip it in the charoset, we don't dip it deeply, and we also wipe off the charoset afterwards, so that you still have the full taste of maror. Obi'inan, tam maror veleka. And you need the tam, you need a taste of maror, and you don't have it. Adabre Rav Chista Ravano Ukva. Rav Chista instructed Ravano Ukva the Doresh and told him to go out and be Doresh. Natalia da betivu rishon, notalia da betivu sheni. Even though you wash the first time, you have to wash again the second time when you come to the maror later in the meal. Now, truthfully, you have to wash for the hamotzi later in the meal, not just the second tibul, but the Gemara is saying it in that terms because of the first washing. So, amruah rabbanan kamei de rapapa, haba alma itmar. That's talking about a normal time. If you think it's talking about Pesach, why am I washing a second time? You already washed his hands the first time, knowing that he's going to eat the maror later on. Meaning that on a normal weekday, he doesn't know what he's going to have in the meal, he doesn't know what's going to come up, so he washes once, then he has to wash again because he didn't have in mind. But here in the Pesach, the Seder is already laid out for us. We know that later on he's going to eat this, so the first washing should count for the second washing as well. I think just the opposite. Hocha itmar. Over here it specifically says you got to wash the second time. If you think it's not a Pesach, why do you have to dip twice? Dipping twice is not a normal function on a regular day. That's why it's a heker to dip twice here. So dipping twice on Pesach is the only time you need to wash twice. So it must have been said specifically on Pesach. Elamai. So then, what are you going to say? Hacha itmar, it's said by Pesach. Natil yadayim shei zimnei lomali. Why do you have to wash your hands twice? You wash them the first time, you have a mind for the second one. Ha, mashile yadei chada zimni. You already washed once. Amrei, kevin debay the meimar garetav aleila. There's a big gap between the first wash and the second washing. You have to say the agada, and you have to say halel. Maybe he will forget about it. He'll lose focus on his hands, and he'll touch things or makamot that are not clean, and therefore he has to wash his hands again because of that hesech hadat, which is our practice again. We wash twice. We don't make a bracha on the first one, and we do make a bracha on the second one. Amarava, bala matza yatza. If he just swallows the matza, he's yotze. Bala maror, lo yatza. But if he just swallows the maror, he's not yotze. Bala matza umaror, if he swallows matza maror together, yidei matza yatza, yidei maror lo yatza. With regards to matza, he's okay. And maror, he's not yotze. Karchan besiv, if he wraps them up with something else around them, meaning some third item that wraps around them, ubalan, and then he swallows them, av yidei matza nami lo yatza. Even matza is not yotze over there. So here we have a number of questions. Why is the din by matza that you don't have to actually taste the matza if you simply swallow it to your yotze? Whereas with regards to maror, you have to actually taste the maror in order to be yotze the mitzvah. That's number one. Second question is, over here, we just said before that if you mix two mitzvah, the mitzvah d'oraita and the rabbanan together, you cannot be yotze both of them. Yet over here, where in putting matzah and maror, if he swallows them together, he's yotze yidei matzah, but he's not yotze yidei maror. Why is he yotze yidei matzah? Why isn't the maror come and mevatel the matzah? So Tosafot answers the second question and says that that issue of bevatel the tam is only shelo asan yachad, if you chew them together. If you chew them together, then the maror will bevatel the matzah. But over here, where you're not chewing them together, then you don't have a problem with bevatel tam matzah. What do you mean? You're not tasting the matzah at all. So that goes back to the first question, why by maror is one din, and why by matzah is there a different din? And that might relate to the fact that one is a mitzvah d'oraita, and one is a mitzvah d'rabanan. With regards to matzah, matzah is a din d'oraita. When we have a din d'oraita, generally we think that's a mitzvah nechefetz. The chefetz is matzo, and you must eat a chefetz of matzo. So when you swallow matzo, whether you taste it or don't taste it, that's irrelevant. Now, it does have to have tam matzo. This matzah has to have a flavor of matzo, even though you don't taste it. It has to have the flavor of matzo, and you swallow it. You swallow the chefetz of matzo, and you yotze the mitzvah. On the other hand, by maror, maror is a din d'rabbanan. And generally we view mitzvot d'rabbanan as being a chiyuv and a gavra, and a requirement on the individual to perform the mitzvah d'rabbanan. The chepza, midoraita, has no significance. Maror min haTorah, it's not maror anymore because there's no mitzvah maror. So here, the only way to accomplish the mitzvah maror, midorabbanan, is that the gavra tastes the maror. He has tamam maror in his mouth. And therefore, we have a requirement not only that it has tam maror, but that you actually taste the maror because it's a din d'rabbanan. Now, when they're together and you swallow them together, again, like Tosfot says, where you're lo asan, you chew them together, then the matzah loses tam matzah. And when you swallow it, you haven't swallowed a chetz of matzah, so you're not yotze. On the other hand, when you just put them down together without chewing them, the matzah retains the chetz of matzah, and therefore you're yotze the din of matzah. Maror, you're not yotze because you need tam maror. Now, when you wrap them together with a third item around them, then even matzah loses the shame of tam matzah. Swallowed it, you don't have tam matzah, it loses it because of this third item around it. And so because of that, you can't be yotze in that case. You have to at least have to have that the matzah has a tam matzah and that it touches your throat as it goes down in that you're swallowing the matzah. That actually turns up in the Rambam. The Rambam paskens with regards to matzah, if you just swallow matzah, you're yotze. Then if you cook matzah, You're mevashel the matzah, you're not yotzei mitzvah matzah. Why not? There's no din of tam matzah. No, the answer is yes. There's a din of tam matzah that the matzah must have tam matzah. If you swallow it, you don't have to be toaim the matzah, but you have matzah, has to have a tam matzah. So in the case where it's tam matzah and you swallow without tasting it, that's fine, because you have a chetza of matzah. On the other hand, if you cook the matzah and you loses its tam matzah, then when you swallow it, you haven't swallowed it, something that's called matzah. You don't have a chetza of matzah, and therefore you're not yotzei the mitzvah of matzah.
That is the explanation of the tzafnak paneach to understand this difference in the Rambam, as well as the difference in our Gemara between tam and maror and tam and matzah.
The Rashbam does point out the chatkila, you do need to have tam matzah, so it's much better to taste the matzah when it's going down. It's only b'dieved that you yotzei. Now he says our Gemara has this girsa, but Rashi had a different girsa, which is bala maror yatsa. Efshar shelo yebehei bo tam maror. If you swallow maror, then you definitely are yotzei the mitzvah, because there has to be a tam maror. There's no way you can get it down your throat without getting some tam of the maror. But bala matzah maror yachad velo achal adayin lo mizev lo mizei yedei matzah yatsa yedei maror lo yatsa. If you swallow them together, then matzah yotzei maror not yotzei, because then the matzah could offset that idea that you must taste the miruta maror. And that's where Rashi learns the Gemara that matzah and maror are actually the same. You don't have to have the tam of either of them. Only when they're together do you have a problem, because then you don't have this default status that but you must taste the maror when it goes down your throat. Amar Rav Simi bar Ashi, matzah lifnei kol echad v'echad, maror lifnei kol echad v'echad, v'charoset lifnei kol echad v'echad. You have to have matzah, maror, and charoset in front of each individual at the Seder. Ve'eino kareem et ha'shulchan lefi mi she'omer ha'agadah. But when it comes to taking away the shulchan to trigger the questions by the children, you only take away the table that is in front of the leader of the Haggadah, the leader of the Si'udah. And the Rashbam and the Tosafot say that this has to do with their time, where they had individual Shulchan in front of each one. And Tosafot adds that because there's a Chovah here, you have an Achilat Mitzvah, we want you to eat as soon as possible after you make the Bracha. Unlike the rest of the year, when there's only an Achilat Birkat Hananin, then we don't mind that there's a little time between the time that the person leading the Si'udah gives it to you. But over here, we want it to happen immediately. But both of them conclude in our day, since we don't eat on individual tables, but on a single table together, therefore you do not need to have every individual have his own matzah and maror, but rather just the head or the leader of the su'udah is required to have the matzah and the maror and the charoset in front of him, meaning the seder plate in front of him. Everything is in front of the person who says the agadah. And the law is like Rav Huna, that you only need it in front of the person saying the agadah. So both in their time and in our time, the same din would apply, that you don't need to have a separate item for each individual. So then, lama okrim et ha'shulchan? Why do you pull the table away from the one who's saying the Haggadah? So, emre debrei rabbi anai, kadei shekiru ha'tinokot bishalu. Because the tinokot will see that and think that the meal's ended. They brought out the food, we're about to eat, and then they pull the plate or the whole table away. It's as if we're ending the meal. So then they'll ask questions. Abai avi yotim kameh de rabbah. Abai was before rabbah. Chozot dekab madle takami kameh. So they were pulling the table away from him. Amalo adayin lo kach linan. We didn't eat yet. Atuk ma'akre takami kaman, why are you pulling the table out? Amalei rabbo, patarta malomar mishtana. Now we don't have to say manishtana. Achloka rishonim, what that means. Rashbam over here says that patarta malomar mishtana, because the whole purpose of taking the table away is to engender questions from the children. Now that you ask the question, that's, we can go straight into the Seder now, because the whole point of asking the question is that you become inquisitive. And when you're inquisitive, we can answer you. And the whole point of manishtana is that it's done in a method or a methodology of asking a question and answering. Now that you've asked a question, we don't need to do the manishtana. We can scroll straight into avadim ayinu. That's the way the Rashbam learns. Tosafot disagrees and says, mitokach yavod yishel b'shar dvarim, that this triggered other questions. Not that this is yotzei manishtana, but because he asked this, then he'll continue to ask, why is this different? Why is this different? Just because he says you're taking away the table, that's not enough to get rid of manishtana. You still have to ask all the other differences. We want to create a number of items that he's asking about, because each one of those items becomes significant later in the meal in terms of the props and in terms of what's significant on the night. And therefore, you still need to say manishtana. So this question in and of itself is not enough. So this is a machloket rishonim about engaging the children. Do they have to ask the specific questions that are found in the manishtana? Or is it enough that they just ask questions? Why is it different tonight? Why are you doing this? So that they're inquisitive, and now we can answer them. We can say, well, tonight is a special night, and once they're engaged. So it's a question of, is it just getting the children engaged, and any question suffices, or are the specific questions leading? The questions are leading the witness, in the sense that the questions of the differences, we're trying to make them note the differences, because each of those differences is unique, and makes it special during the night, and we want to focus on those differences, because they are significant. That is a machloket rishonim we have over here. In addition, our practice today, which the Rishonim discuss over here, is about removing the Seder plate. We don't remove the Shulchan. So So we move the Seder plate. So many have, and the Rashbam talks about over here, that they used to pick up the Seder plate and move it to the other side of the table in order to have the children ask the question, because we don't move the whole table. So they used to move the Seder plate. Now, the Rashbam says that some people used to say, take off the meat from the Seder plate in order that it won't be a problem with having the Karban Pesach and Karban Chagigah on the Seder plate. He says that's not necessary at all. Because over here, the reason we're picking up the Seder plate is not to say Matzah Zu, Maror Zu, Pesach Zu, where there it is a problem. Here, we're simply doing it to get the children to ask. So therefore, you can leave the meat on the Seder plate, the things that represent Pesach and the Chagigah, you can leave on the Seder plate. And you move it to the other side to get the kids to ask, wait, what are you doing? You're taking away them food. We're not starting the meal. So that's why we do that. And you can leave the basar on later on the meal. When you say Pesach Zu, Matzah Zu, Maror Zu, by Matzah Maror, you keep it on. By the Pesach, you don't point to it, or you don't keep it on the Seder plate, whichever is your practice.
The Magen Avraham
says that he doesn't think you even need to do that. Moving the Seder plate from one side to the other is not necessary, because today, even if you move the Seder plate to the other side, kids won't think that the meal's over. So it doesn't trigger any questions. Rather, we lift up the Seder plate to engender the questions, or we uncover the Seder plate to engender the questions, because moving it from one side to the other has no significance. And therefore, we don't have the practice to move the Seder plate from one side to the other, although there are those that still have that minhag to move the Seder plate to the other side in order to trigger the questions of the children.
Since the Shulchan Aruch paskins that way, and even the Mishnah Berurah and the Shaar Tzion brings down, he thinks the Gra and the Prima Godim think that the Shulchan Aruch is right and that you should move it. Although the general practice amongst Ashkenazim is not to move the Seder plate, whereas amongst Sephardim, there are different practices. A lot of them do move the Seder plate.
And now the Gemara continues and says, Amar Shmuel, lechem oni. Lechem shonim alav dvarim harbe. Why is matzah called lechem oni? The bread of affliction. Because it's a lechem, not of oni of affliction, but shonim alav dvarim harbe, that we say a lot of things about it. We say the agada over the matzah. Tanya nami hochi. We have a braita that supports that understanding. Lechem oni, lechem shonim alav dvarim harbe. It's the bread that we say many things about it. Dvar acher. Lechem oni, anitiv. It's written chaser avav. Ma ani darko beprusa. Just like a poor person has a broken piece. Afkan beprusa. So to over here, you need a broken piece. Devar acher. Another thing. Ma darko shani hu meisig vishto ofa. That he heats up the oven and his wife right away puts the dough into the oven in order that it shouldn't get cool. Afkan nami. So too, when you bake matzot, you should meisig. You should have it go hot first and then put the matzah in right away so you bake it right away so you don't have any problems of chametz. So now this leads to some of the practices that we have in the Seder, what's called yachatz. We break the matzah in half. We break the matzah in half in order that we have a prusa. We have a broken piece of matzah to accomplish this idea of lechem ani, the lechem of the ani that's a prusa. In addition to that, we also keep the matzah around and we say the agada, so the matzah are present when we're there for the agada, so that it's lechem she'onim alav devarim harbe. Now that also, I've spoken about this in the past, as might have nafkaminas with regards to women and agada. It's a question whether women are a yavot in the mitzvah bigata lebincha, different positions. One of the positions as to why women might be chayavot is because they're chayavot in matzah. They're chayavot in the din of matzah that we learn out from the hekesh to chametz, and therefore they're obligated in matzah. Now, if the mitzvah of matzah is not simply to eat matzah, but lechem shonim alav dvarim harbe, the matzah you eat must include the explanation. It can't just simply be matzah. It has to be a matzah with lechem shonim alav dvarim harbe. Then the Haggadah becomes part and parcel of the mitzvah of matzah. And if you just simply eat matzah, you wouldn't be yotzah. You have to have the Haggadah on top of it. How much of the Haggadah or what you need exactly to say might not be exactly what we have in front of us, but at least something has to be said on the explanation of the matzah and be yotzah, and that might make the women obligated in Haggadah independent of the mitzvah of Haggadah because of the mitzvah of matzah. And in addition to that, Tosafot raises an issue here, which he raises other places in Shas, which is a major machloket arishonim, which is, what are we doing on this night? We have a broken piece of matzah. In general, if it was Shabbat or Yom Tov, we would have Lechem Mishneh. Lechem Mishneh, at least we're going for Shabbat, because they had a double portion of the month. Therefore, we have Lechem Mishneh on Shabbat. Machloket Midrashim, Tosafot brings it down in the beginning of Beitza and discusses it in other places, as to whether on Yom Tov they also got double man, or the man came down on Yom Tov itself. We paskin like the Deah, that we have Lechem Mishneh on Yom Tov as well, assuming that the man did not fall on Yom Tov. And therefore we have Lechem Mishneh on Shabbat and Yom Tov. But the Lechem Mishneh that we have are whole loaves of bread. On the night of Pesach, I have a problem here. I just broke the matzah. So am I going to make the bracha when it comes to the meal Amotzi Lechem in Aretz? What am I going to make the bracha on? Am I going to make it on a broken piece of matzah that I can't do on any other Yom Tov? So Tosafot has here an innovation. He quotes other Shita, but then he has his innovation, which is that we actually include a third matzah here. We have three matzot instead of two matzot over here. One whole one and one broken one, which are the main matzot of the Seder. That gives you your Lechem Mishneh, and that gives you your Al-Khilat Matzah. But because lechem mishnah needs to be whole, we add on a third matzah. That third matzah means that now I have two whole matzahs. And therefore what Tosfot says is when I make the bracha of hamotzi, I hold up all three matzot, the two bottom ones being for the lechem mishnah and the birkat hananin for the broken piece of matzah. Then we let go of the bottom matzah, we put it down, and then you take the middle matzah and the top matzah, which is one whole and one broken, and you make the bracha of al achilat matzah. And then you give people a piece from everything. You give them a piece from the broken matzot for to accomplish the mitzvah of al achilat matzah, which is the mitzvah of matzah of the night, which is lechem prusah, is a broken piece. And you give them a piece of the whole matzah, which is the lechem mishnah, so that they're yotzei both the din of lechem mishnah and the din of prusah on the night. That is Tosafot's solution to the problem by saying that we add another matzah, and therefore we have both lechem mishnah, and we have the lechem prusah. And you make the different brachot over both of them in order to accomplish this. And that's the day of the Reed, the Rashbam. On the other hand, some of the Gaonim believed that you should use Shleimot for the Hamotzi, and Shleima Vechadchilo for the Alechilat Matzah. Just b'di'evit, if it's broken, then it works, because you have that the Ani Prusah, and therefore it's Lechem Oni. But there is also a mainstream of Rishonim that believe that because tonight there is a din of Lechem Oni, that the Prusah takes on the din of a Shleima. And that's what the Rambam says, you only need two matzot, and you make the bracha of Amotzi over the prusa and the whole matzah, because the din of the night is prusa. And therefore tonight, a prusa takes on a din of shleima. Since the night requires us to have lechem oni, that's broken piece of matzah, that broken piece of matzah is the whole matzah for the night. Whenever you make a bracha of both Amotzi for the lechem mishnah and achilat matzah over the prusa, because the prusa qualifies as a lechem mishnah on this night. And therefore, that reason, they only require two matzot, the one that you broke from Yachatz, as well as the second matzah that you still have there. And even that matzah may not have to be whole, because the night is the night of Prusah, and you accomplish the mitzvah of Lechem Mishnah through a Prusah. So this is a major machlok of Rishonim. Today, it usually turns out to be a difference between the Minhag Sfaradim and the Minhag Ashkenazim. The Ashkenazim take three matzot, whereas the Sfaradim usually take two matzot and make the Lechem Mishnah and the Achilat Matzah over the Prusah. Okay, we'll stop over here.